So I'm the director of sustainability, but my parents actually started the business back in 1995, and they were farmers first. So we were chicken farmers and we were fish farmers. And I think growing up with that as your background, you always keep environment very close at hand. It's a very important part of what we do. So essentially in 2007, we started to become concerned about our plastics footprint. And we decided we would try a few other options that we had heard were better. So we tried carton, we tried biodegradable plastic, and neither one of those turned out to be what we were expecting. We ended up going back to PET plastic, which is what we currently use, because we realized it's so recyclable and easily recyclable, and decided to build our own recycling plant in Shelburne. So by bringing that to Ontario, we actually created this circular economy for PET plastic very locally, based in Shelburne, where we take about 80 to 85% of the PET collected in the Blue Box program and turn it right back into bottles again.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in doing that, we actually found we get some other plastics, which has led us to create businesses to consume those plastics as well. So we actually make furniture in Stratford at CR Plastics out of the caps, the lids that we get through the Blue Box program.
Really? Can you tell me more about that?
So when you recycle your bottle at home, we always tell everybody, please keep the cap on. So put that cap back on your beverage container, your peanut butter jar, so that it moves through the system and stays attached to a bigger object, which allows us to then recycle it. The cool thing about PET plastic, like a beverage container, versus the cap is that they're totally different densities. So we can separate them in water very easily. The cap goes to Stratford to be made into a chair, a long-lasting chair, very high quality. And they, I'm sure everybody has seen them around. And then the bottle just becomes a bottle again.
So can you tell me what's, this is very fascinating. I'm sorry, I might take up a little bit more of your time today, but I'm very interested in this. So you guys are partnering, so you're getting the recycling from that people are putting out on the curb then, like you partnered with the government, or how did you get that? How did you set that up?
So the way that the Blue Box system works is we have, as a community, you know, across Ontario, we have companies that come and collect our material. That material goes back to a material recovery facility in Ontario. There's many of them. And they sort that material into things like aluminum, plastics, PET plastics, paper, and so on. So we actually contract with those material recovery facilities to buy that material. And when we buy that material, that money actually goes back towards funding the collection system of the Blue Box. So in keeping material local, you're actually supporting communities through collection, helping cover all those costs. And there's even more changes coming soon to that Blue Box system to help promote that. But yeah, we actually get a lot of our bottles back. Every day we see them come back.
Okay. So I get it now. Okay. So yeah, so we buy the bottle of Ice River and then we drink it and then we toss it in the recycling bin and then the guys come pick up the recycling and they take it to the sorting facility. And then you buy those bottles back from the sorting facility, essentially.
Yeah, and lots of other plastic, lots of other PET plastic that's out there.
Right, and then, yes, based on the type of plastic that it is. And then the lid is a higher density plastic than the actual bottle is.
It's a lower density plastic, okay. So it actually floats in water. So when we grind up the bottle into flake, we call it, the PET will sink and the lid will float. And so then we're very capable of separating those out and using them again in a system where the plastic keeps its value.
Okay, cool. So we're there now. Okay. So now we got the plastic. So then you guys realized that you had all this lower density plastics. And then what was where did the idea come to, like, oh, we should start making Muskoka chairs out of this.
So that's the interesting one. So my parents, Sandy and Jamie, were watching Dragon's Den one day and this family company was on and they were talking about how they make furniture out of recycled plastic. And my dad, you know, every time we buy a bale of plastic from the material recovery facilities, you want to use your raw material to the utmost. You want to make it very efficient. So we were recovering all the bottle, but we were also getting what we call polyolefins, which is your cap. And he said to my mom, you know, we should really reach out to this company and see if they will start taking the polyolefins, the lids that come through the system. So we did. And the deal that was made on Dragon's Den actually fell through. So my parents invested in the actual furniture company. About 3 years ago, the owner of the company decided he wanted to retire and they bought the rest of the business. So now we own the furniture company.
Okay, that is an incredible story.
It's a very interesting story, right? Yeah. Not what you expect.
Okay, so I got that in my head now. So in 2007, you guys realized, holy crap, we might be like, you know, we got a lot of plastic we're throwing out. So what sort of changes had to be made, you know, in order to become more sustainable? Can you walk me through that process?
So we're making our bottles out of PET, and we were actually manufacturing those bottles in our facilities rather than shipping empty bottles everywhere, because we knew we wanted to keep our carbon footprint low. So we had all of this very high-tech equipment so we could make our own bottles, but we had never thought about actually making the resin itself. So we decided we would go out on the market and start trying to buy recycled content resin. And every batch that we would bring in was a little bit different depending on where it came from. And at that point, we realized we had to make our own facility. We had to make our own recycling plant local so that we could control the quality of the material that we were receiving. Because a beverage bottle is it's very precise. We want to make sure that that material is very clean. It's very transparent because people want to see their water. So we need a high quality resin. By building it here in 2009, we were actually starting to think about, okay, rather than just putting a little bit of recycled content in, I wonder how much we can put in. Can we get to 50% recycled content? We started at that level, and eventually, really within 1 year, we hit 100% recycled content bottle. So there's no new plastic in our bottle. We were told many times by people in the industry that that was impossible, that no one had ever done that and it wasn't possible. When you tell my dad that, he's going to laugh at you and figure out how to do it. So we just kept working on it, and we were the first beverage company in North America to actually accomplish this.
This is all incredible. I'm so happy I'm talking to you today. This is a huge story. You guys haven't been on the news about this yet? I'm sure you have.
We've been interviewed. We've won awards. We've won awards actually globally. We won an award in Barcelona in 2017, Barcelona, Spain. For a global sustainable packaging summit. So we have been recognized, and it's really nice to start getting that story out locally, because we've been here for a long time. We have some really great people that work for us, also obviously based very locally, very proud of what they do. And we want to make sure everybody knows that this all started in a small town. This all started in Canada, and it's very exciting.
I mean, yeah. So can you talk me through, so once you guys made the decision and you started, you know, realizing that you had to make your own recycling plant and doing all that. So what were the biggest challenges that you guys faced when you transitioned to the new model?
The very first challenge that we hit was when we entered the market. So we entered the Ontario recycling market and started buying the PET bales that were being sorted at the MRF, at the material recovery facility. As soon as we started doing that, the price went crazy on us, because up to that point, that material actually wasn't being sold locally. It was being shipped overseas. So to have a local market that was actually demanding this material, it drove the prices very high very quickly. But eventually it evened out. And that's kind of what happens in every market. It evens out and you find, you know, a system that works for everybody, that is valuable for everybody. So now we have a very consistent end market that we pull from those material recovery facilities regularly, and they don't worry about where the material goes. So that has been a huge win. And it's also just keeping material in Canada and reducing the amount of virgin material or new plastics that have to be purchased every year. It's a huge win.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So tell me about some of the products that you guys are making with the recycled materials now. I know we're doing the water bottles and the Muskoka chairs, but what else is going on?
So we have our blue water bottle, which is the transparent blue, which is our private label. So basically every large retailer across Canada is in 100% recycled bottle that we make for them. On top of that, we receive a lot of green plastic. So our brand, we turned to green about 5 years ago, which at first was tough for the consumer to understand why we would have a green water bottle. But it's green because that's the color the plastic comes to us as. And there was no end market for it. And Jamie and Sandy thought, why would we throw that good plastic out? Let's put it in our brand. And now our customers are really starting to realize, like, this is a truly sustainable package, and they love seeing the green color. Then we have the chairs, of course, that are made out of the cap. Beyond that, we have invested in a new extrusion line, which is that flexible plastic that we're hearing a lot about now. So the plastic that goes around the outside of our water case, we started manufacturing that ourselves. We could work towards putting recycled content in that material. And we're now working on a pilot project with the Canada Plastics Pact, where we're working with other recyclers and other manufacturers to figure out how we can drive recycled content into flexibles. And we're sitting currently at about 20% recycled content in our flexible film.
This is all incredible. Wow. I can't believe, like, this is all happening right under our noses here too, in Orangeville and Shelburne and everything. Like, this is crazy.
The next piece that we're working on is thermoform. So whenever you buy your lettuce or you buy your strawberries or raspberries, that packaging is generally in PET plastic as well, the nice clear one, the number one plastic. We actually just started a company up in Feversham, Ontario, where we are now manufacturing the material to make those with recycled content as well. So we're just really trying to get recycled content to be the main material that's consumed in Ontario in plastic.
This is incredible. You guys went from arguably, you know, what most people would consider as, like, you know, a company that's bad for the environment, like a bottled water company. And you guys have made this pivot in the last 15 years to almost, you're like, it's almost like you guys are a sustainability company with a water side hustle.
Yeah, we actually found that we get along with the communities that we are a part of, because we want everybody to come in and see everything we do, be a part of what's going on here. We have nothing to hide. And I think that really helps to start changing the culture towards bottled water. You can do it very sustainably. It's the most important resource on earth, arguably. We want to protect it. We would never do anything to hurt it. It's where we started, and it has really driven this change towards a more sustainable practice.
Yeah, entirely. Wow. Okay, well, this is a much bigger story than I thought it was going to be.
That's what I mean. It's hard to answer questions. Like, you can't do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, really. I know we had this scheduled for 5 minutes. We're running up to 15 right now, and I feel like I could talk to you for another hour. Like, this is wild. okay, so I think I've got enough definitely for a story here, probably two or at least three even. I'd love to get your dad on the line, man. This guy sounds like a real gnarly dude. Like,
you know what? My dad is the entrepreneur behind this, and entrepreneurial spirit is so strong in Canada, you know, especially when you're in kind of a rural area where we have to kind of take care of ourselves and develop these processes out here, to sustain ourselves. So Jamie he never says no to things. He's very open to new ideas and new concepts, and he often comes up with them. But Sandy, on the other hand, my mom, she actually gets things, she gets the ball rolling, so to speak, and she really drives and pushes through his ideas. So they're a really good couple. And it's been really great growing up with them and seeing that happen.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah, the idea man and the action lady.
Yes, exactly. It's a perfect combination.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, well, Crystal, thank you so much for your time today. Tracy as well, if you're still on the line, thank you so much for setting this up.
No, I'm glad you were able to connect.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm really excited for this. This is definitely something that the community needs to know, that, you know, we have essentially a global leader, you know, right here in our community that's working to really, you know, as far as I can tell, you know, the business practices that you guys have started are essentially essential to the continuation of this industry, right? Like, eventually everyone's going to have to do what you're doing, right?
Yeah, and that's really, we get brought into a lot of calls with the government, because we have done this now since 2010. We've got 100% recycled bottle. The government wants to see more recycled content in packaging. And so they're often like, if Ice River is doing this and they've been doing this since 2010, we all should be doing something. And let's get this going. Let's get recycled content to be the mainstay in everything that we package.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's incredible. Okay. Well, I won't take up any more of your time. I really appreciate everything today. An amazing story. The Dragon's Den, everything so cool.